How do you do? They say that life is a matter of give and take. Well, no one has a monopoly on either. Sometimes we give and sometimes we take within the boundaries of the law and the protocol of society. Today, you'll meet a man who had a monopoly on taking with no thought of society or fear of the law. But eventually, he did become a giver when at last his heart and mind and life were unshackled. From Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago, this is Unshackled, the unique dramatic series that tells the true stories of real people and has been doing so for over 48 years. And for over 121 years, Pacific Garden Mission has been giving shelter, hot meals, clean clothing, medical and dental care to anyone in need who will enter the doors that never close. In addition, the mission pastors and counselors hold forth the word of truth that, when received, gives new life and hope for the future. The Old Lighthouse also offers Bible study classes, job placement assistance, and other helpful life lessons to anyone, regardless of race, gender, or age. We recognize that, at times, everyone has a need for someone with a caring heart and a helping hand to simply say, "We're here for you." Now for broadcast around the earth, here's program number 2514 in the series Unshackled, the dramatic program that makes you face yourself and think. There's a common misconception that religious people, Christians, are all of a pattern. Well, nothing could be further from the truth. If we keep an open mind, we will discover that God's imagination is just as unlimited in personalities as it is in nature. We will discover that surrender to Christ actually results in sharpening and emphasizing personality. A good example is the man whose story we bring you now. Once he was just another alcoholic and a thief, but then he became a one-of-a-kind proof of God's originality. You'll understand as we bring you the true story of Charles Swanson, retold from the classic files of Unshackled.
"Original," he says. "Listen, the only original thing about me in the old days was sin. Original sin. And that wasn't original with me. It's been going on since Adam. There's nothing new about robbing your employer blind, but it did take creative ability to stay drunk most of the time. Nah, I wasn't original. I just went along with the gang, and where the gang went was trouble. My mother knew it, but she didn't know how to cope with it."
"That you, Charles?"
"Sure, it's me, Ma. Who you think it was?"
"Well, with 10 children, it could be almost anyone. But I notice that when it gets to be 3 in the morning, it's always you, Charles."
"Shank of the evening."
"I should think you've seen your father drunk often enough that you'd know better."
"Ah, Pop had a good time, didn't he?"
"Your father missed out on almost all the good things he could have had, and you know it. He graduated from a good university in Sweden. His family had all kinds of money."
"Yeah, and they made it out of a distillery. Family loyalty ought to keep me drinking, if nothing else."
"Family loyalty. That kind of loyalty made your father's family send him off to the United States to get rid of him. Charles, you're such a young man. There's a whole life ahead of you to make or to ruin. Now, why don't you at least try to do something with it?"
"I am, Mom. I'm having all the fun I can find just as fast as I can find it, and I'm not trying. I'm doing it."
"Well, maybe if you'd find some nice girl and settle down."
"Plenty of time for that, Mom. Plenty of time." "Find a nice girl and settle down. It's strange how often nice girls are attracted to characters like me. I think I found the nicest girl of all. Her name was Lillian, and she was all the things I wasn't: patient, sweet disposition, and unselfish. I think she expected to take over where my mother left off and straighten me out."
"We're going to be awfully happy, aren't we, Charles?"
"Sure, honey. Happier than anybody.
We don't have much now, but there's lots of room for promotion there at the warehouse. And being married, well, you won't be going out nights or wasting money on liquor. We'll be able to save and have nice things, won't we?
Huh? Oh, yeah, I guess so. Why not?
I know it's going to be quite a change for you, coming home right after work and not hanging around with that wild bunch of yours. But you're going to like it much better, so it'll be easy.
You see, my wife and my mother both knew what I should do, but neither one of them could tell me how to do it. I made good resolutions in those days, like every new bridegroom, but somehow they never seemed to stick. You see, that bunch I hung around with was a real rough gang. We thought the world was free, and we intended to get our share of it. Many of us worked in the same place, the shipping department of a big merchandising house, and we worked like a team to keep the stockholders' profits down.
Come here, Charlie.
Yeah, Bert.
Something very interesting about this carload. Let me show you. Take a look at the ticket on it.
Yeah. Well, isn't this the load it calls for?
Sure. It's all here just as pretty as you please. But somebody at the other end got generous and loaded in 4 extra cases. How's that for a break?
Hey, very nice. And nobody knows they're here but you and me?
That's right, Charlie. I figured the two of us could handle them without any help.
Yeah. No use bothering the other boys with a little thing like this.
This stuff will just about make a nice 2-way split. Tell you what, Charlie. Let's load these cases on a truck and run them down to the far end of the dock. They'll look just like they belong there. Besides, that's pretty close to the gate. We can get them out a lot easier at quitting time.
That was one way we used to steal from the company. Of course, there are lots of other ways to do it, and we knew all of them. Some of the merchandise we sold, some of it we took home for our own use. Lillian would have been terribly upset if she had known what was going on, so whenever I picked up some clothes she could wear, I had to determine how to make my story acceptable. We lived in a back apartment, and I had to go through a dark and dirty basement areaway to get in from the street. Many times I'd stop, and I'd set my package down and dirty the clothes up enough so Lil would believe my story. Then I'd wrap them up again and go on into the apartment. Hey, Lil!
Baby, look what I brought you.
Oh, Charlie, how can we afford it?
Don't worry about affording it. This stuff came cheap, dirt cheap. There are a lot of bargains around if you just know where to look for them.
Well, I don't know where you find them. I know I never can.
Yeah.
Oh, just look at this. This is an expensive
dress. Sure it is. Well, at least it was, but you notice it got a little dirty, so they had to let it go cheap.
Charlie, you shouldn't be getting me all these nice things.
Of course I should. You're a wonderful wife, and you deserve much better. But a bargain's a bargain, and I'd be crazy to pass it up. It was a long time before I realized that hot merchandise is never a bargain. Even though it doesn't cost a cent, it does something to a man's self-respect. And that's true even when you keep telling yourself that what you're doing is absolutely right. I was convinced in my own mind that the rule of every man for himself was the only one that made any sense. But in spite of that, I know now that I paid a heavy price. Way down deep inside, a quiet voice would tell me I was wrong.
Hey, Charlie, you look a little low. What's wrong with you?
Sometimes I'm bothered by our stealing. Don't it bother you?
We're not hurting anybody. We do it for our families, and so we can have a little fun. What could be wrong with that?
I guess you're right. Hey, what's going on inside that boxcar? Somebody got a bottle in there?
Bottle? You trying to be funny? It's that crazy Charlie Greer. He's having a religious meeting in there.
A what?
A religious meeting. They just finished praying, and now Charlie started to preach.
Not Charlie. He must be joking.
That's what I thought, too, but he means it. Charlie's gone and got religion. Converted or something.
That guy must be off his trolley.
Yeah, poor Charlie.
Come on, let's get closer.
This is referring to our eternal salvation. But, you know, as long as the Lord has use for us on this earth, he'll protect us in ways we know nothing about. I heard a story a little while back that really impressed me. In the late 1800s, a man named Ira Sankey was the song leader with D.L. Moody. They held meetings all over the world, preaching and singing. On Christmas Eve in 1875, Sankey was traveling by steamboat up the Delaware River. Many of the passengers on deck were encouraging him to sing a Christmas carol, but instead Sankey felt compelled to sing, "Savior, Like a Shepherd, Lead Us." When he had finished, a man came up to him and said,
Excuse me, did you ever serve in the Union Army?
Well, yes, I did, in the spring of 1860.
Yeah, can you remember if you were doing guard duty on a bright, moonlit night in 1862?
Yes.
Well, so did I. But I was serving in the Confederate Army, and when I saw you standing at your post, I raised up my musket and took aim. You see, I was standing in the shadow, I was completely concealed, and while the full light of the moon was falling upon you, at that instant, you raised up your eyes to heaven and you began to sing. Let him sing his song to the end, I said to myself, and I can shoot him afterwards. But the song you sang then was the song you sang just now, and I heard the words perfectly. We are thine, do thou befriend us, be the guardian of our way. And those words, they stirred up so many memories of my childhood and my God-fearing mother. When you finished your song, it was impossible for me to shoot you. I thought, the Lord who's able to save that man from certain death must surely be great and mighty.
So you see, fellas, Ira Sankey had no idea he was about to be shot. But the Lord had other plans for him. If we've truly trusted him for eternal life through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, he'll protect us and guide us.
That sort of thing kept happening. Every day, Charlie Greer would set up a meeting in an empty boxcar. Soon, he started getting results. First, it was just two or three, then a half dozen of the gang got religion, too. After a while, there were so many of them that they got up enough courage to sing. All those rough guys in that boxcar, hollering hymns as loud as they could. I figured the company'd put a stop to it, but the more guys got converted, the less merchandise was lost. And after a while, it got so those bargains were tougher to find. You see, it usually took several men to handle a really tricky job of stealing. The ones who were willing to help, they just kept getting scarcer and scarcer. And, well, one day I was trying to persuade one of those newly converted Christians to give me a hand with a bargain when Charlie Greer walks up and he hears what's going on.
Swanson, if there's one guy in this department that needs salvation, you're that guy. What do you figure God thinks about stealing goods from the company?
Just a minute, Greer. Maybe it's time you did a little listening instead of preaching all the time.
Sure, I'll listen. What have you got to say?
Well, maybe you're on the level, Greer. Maybe you're not. I've seen a lot of those religious guys in my time, and I know most of them are phony.
Well, some of them may be. I'll admit that. But I'm not worried about them. I'm worried about you.
Don't worry about me. I can take care of myself. I've known church people as crooked as a barrel of snakes.
Why would you allow a crook in the church or out to cause you to turn your back on God?
I didn't say I was against the church or God.
No, not in so many words, but that's the truth of it. Listen, kid, I can see right through you. You're not nearly as tough as you pretend. Why don't you give Jesus Christ a chance? God doesn't want to hurt you. He wants to make you a new man. He'll set you free.
Yeah? Well, what's wrong with me now?
Plenty. And you know it. Deep down inside, you know it.
Did Charles Swanson know it? We will learn how he found out in just a moment. If you or someone you know have failed miserably in some way and would like to start over but don't think it's possible, then just listen to this. John Sanders felt the same way. Orphaned as a child, John became addicted to drugs as a teenager. And then he turned to crime to support his heroin habit. Years in the penitentiary didn't change him, and he thought he couldn't change. His story is told in one of our Unshackled comic books, beautifully illustrated by Florida artist Bill Waters. And we'd like to send you this comic book free for you to absorb and then pass on to another who would benefit from John's life-changing encounter with God. This comic book is small enough to fit into your pocket,
and yet it tells the story just as it was broadcast on Unshackled. Anyone of any age can read and understand God's love and his power to change the things that hurt us. So to get your free copy of the John Sanders comic book, just write to Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org, and please include your address. And join us on our website at www.unshackled.org.
Old Charlie Greer was right. Deep down inside, I was miserable. I learned later that this feeling is called conviction. I was convicted by my own conscience. But like most people in that situation, the immediate result was that I got meaner and more crooked and drunker than ever. I went downhill faster during the next few months than I had at any period in my life. We got so far behind in the rent that Lillian and I had to move in with my mother. But instead of straightening out, I got worse than ever. One day I came home too drunk to stay on my feet. Lillian was very upset.
Charlie, you'll hurt yourself.
All right. You leave me alone.
Mother, help me with him. Maybe we can get him to bed.
Well, we can try, Will. Come on now, Charles. Lil and I want you to lie down for a little while.
I don't want to lie down.
Please, Charlie.
Of course you want to lie down, Charles.
No, no.
Charlie, you're hurting me.
Oh. You let go of me. I know I'm
Charles. Lil, go get your hat.
Why?
I said get your hat. We're going out.
But we just can't leave him lying there like this.
Oh, yes, we can. We can't continue to fret over him and drive ourselves crazy.
But what if he's hurt?
He's not hurt. But you are, and so am I. Come on, let's take a walk.
Mother, I still don't think we should have walked out and left him there.
Oh, yes, we should. I think I'm old enough to know when I see another woman's heart breaking. You've had all you can stand, Lil.
And what about you?
Well, it's easier for me. Maybe because I've been through so much more. Maybe because I'm older. But we both need a break.
Maybe you're right. Oh, I wish I were dead.
Now, Lil.
Oh, I mean it. Things would be so simple if only I'd be hit by a car or something.
Now, Lil, there must be an answer. I don't know what it is, but there just has to be one.
I wish I knew what it was.
I wonder what's going on up there at the corner.
You suppose somebody's
been
hurt?
Why we should hold meetings like this?
Maybe.
They want to know why.
No, I can see now. It's a religious meeting, that's what.
Well, the answer to that question
I guess you're right.
Someone's preaching. Well, we've got plenty of time on our hands. Come on, let's go listen.
Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. That means all of us. He gave me a completely new life, and he promises the same to you. Jesus didn't stay inside the doors of a church. He went out into the roadways and the fields and the villages because that's where the people were who needed him. And we'd be a pretty poor excuse for followers of his if we weren't ready to do the same. Every one of us knows what it is to be troubled, heartbroken, worried, and beaten by life. That's why Jesus proclaims in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." There was a time when I didn't know that, but God in his mercy brought me to the point where my only hope was him. Sin had me licked, so I turned to Jesus, and he reached down and gave me a new life. Amen. He never fails, friends. He's waiting right now to give new life to you. Someone standing here right now needs Christ. Will you just raise your hand, indicating that you want me to pray for you?
Mother, I think that man means me.
He means me too, Lil. He means both of us.
Some people laugh at street meetings. I don't, because those few minutes were the turning point in my wife's life. My mother's, and in course of time, my own. When they came home that afternoon, I was awake, groggy, but conscious. And the first thing my wife did was come and put her arms around me.
Charlie, honey, listen to me. Something has just happened to Mother and me that can make all the difference for all of us.
Did you find some money, Lou?
Something much better. I found out about Jesus. Charlie, he can save us and make us all new and clean and give us a new start in everything.
You're crazy, Lou.
It's true, Charlie. From now on, I'm going to be a real Christian. You'll see. And I'm going to be praying for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You and Charlie Greer.
Who's he?
Just a guy at work. He's another crazy one. He's praying for me, too. You can see how receptive I was. But the strange thing is that from that time on, things went better for us. We moved out of my mother's house and got our own place. And no matter how mean or belligerent I was, Lil kept right on living for God. She'd been a fine woman before, but now she was patient and loving in a special way. Nothing I did or said could break her down. A day came when she told me that our home was going to be used for a meeting of some kind with her new Christian friends. And then I really hit the ceiling. Did I tell you to have a bunch of those Bible-pounding freaks in here?
Charlie, they don't pound Bibles, and they're not freaks. This is my home as well as yours, and we needed a place for a cottage meeting.
Cottage meeting? You call this dump a cottage?
I call it home, and I hope you'll try to be as pleasant as possible to my friends.
Pleasant, huh? I'll be pleasant, all right. If that bunch come in here, and I'll just throw them right out in the street. That's a promise. Now, let's see, ask them to come here.
I've already asked them, Charlie, and I don't intend to change my mind. Well, we're in pretty good voice for a small group, aren't we? Now, I think it's time to... Charlie?
Plenty of room in the cottage?
Just enough, dear. Come on in.
Sure. Nobody minds.
Friends, this is my husband, Charlie.
Hi.
I think there's a place to sit right over there.
Thanks.
Now then, we were just going to begin a time of prayer together. We all have needs. And we all know of many others we want to remember.
Well, there I was, sitting beside an ex-saloon keeper while they all prayed. Later on, one of them began teaching from the Bible. Lil still says after all these years that she didn't put him up to it, but every word was about me. Oh, not by name, of course, but it all applied to me, and I knew it. At the end of the meeting, that former saloon keeper turned to me and he says,
Mr. Swanson, I happen to know the gospel is true because I'm a completely new man. I'm a living example of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Well, sir, I've got a new heart, new mind, new desires, and a new occupation. What Jesus did for me, he'll do for you.
You sound pretty sure.
I'm sure. Would you like to pray? To ask him to forgive you for your sins, save you, and take over your life?
I don't think he'd have me. I'm too rotten.
That's just why he will have you. He died to give you eternal life and an abundant life on earth.
I don't know what to do.
You really want him to save you?
Would he make me decent and patient like my wife?
Like himself in time.
Then I say yes.
I knelt with him and confessed my sins, asking God for his promise of salvation. It was 9:40 in the evening of August 5th, 1918, when God cleaned me up. I meant business, and he did too. Before I went to bed that night, I built a fire in the stove, hot as it was, and burned up my cigarettes and a favorite deck of cards I always carried around. And after that, I went and got all the bottles in the house and poured out every drop of whiskey. That was just the beginning. Next came the question of stolen goods. I knew I had to confess it and make good, but I couldn't see how I'd ever be able to pay it back. Whenever I prayed about it, I always had God's peace that he would be with me. Finally, I went to the front office to tell my story.
Now, wait a minute, Swanson. Let me get this straight. Are you trying to tell me that during the years you've been with us, you've stolen merchandise amounting to maybe thousands of dollars?
Yes, sir. That's the truth.
Well, why? I mean, Why are you telling me this now? You never been under suspicion.
I have to tell you. Believe me, I didn't want to, but I'm a Christian now. Have been since August 5th. And every time I pray, I know I have to confess what I've done.
I see. Well, I guess I'll just have to take it up with the top brass, but for now, just go on with your work.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, and one more thing, Swanson. Are we really that easy to steal from?
Boss, it's a good thing this building's solid, or you'd be working for me.
The company officials forgave the whole thing. Gave me $300 to pay off some old debts. Gave me about $150 worth of new clothes for my family. The shipping department was never the same. More than half a dozen different foremen tried to break up our noontime gospel meetings, and we prayed every one of them right out of the job. So listen, don't ever for one minute doubt God's power to change people and situations. He's the boss. He's on the throne.
Charles Swanson felt that God wanted him to hand out gospel tracts, and his answer was, Lord, you supply them. I'll pass them out. Less than a week later, a big bunch of tracts arrived in the mail unsolicited and launched Charles on a lifetime of tract distribution. He went from being a taker to being a giver. He distributed approximately 10 million tracts prior to his death. Friend, we pray that Charles Swanson's testimony has challenged you to consider your need for salvation. Jesus says in John chapter 1, verse 12, But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. If you want to know more about this wonderful light, just write Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. The telephone number in Chicago is area 312-922-1462. Email can be sent to unshackled@pgm.org, and our website address is www.unshackled.org. This is program number 2514. Heard in the true story of Charles Swanson were Jack Bivens, Mercedes DeMonk, Tricia Heaton, Lanny Lutz, Russ Reed, and Jim Parks. Original music, Ralph Coburn. Sound, Nick Aloisio. Engineer, Ed Webb. Script by Jack O'Dell, and I'm Bob O'Donnell. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Write to us today, Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. When no one is there for you, we are. Call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-922-1462. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-922-1462.